There are 8 kids in the Shea family, and yesterday, number 3 and number 8 celebrated birthdays together. And to celebrate, Mom and Dad spent the day with number 5. Heavy is the crown. But number 8, she was the only girl with a bunch of older brothers. And her birthday was a special one. She turned 30. And she was also the first one. You know, I had a couple younger brothers as well, but she was the first one. I remember being a young boy. I was 6th grade, almost 12 years old. And I remember holding her. You know, a little baby, when they're just a couple days, a couple weeks old, they're so fragile. They're so incredibly fragile. And I remember holding her. And you have to be so careful because their head, they can't hold it up themselves and it'll just flop around. And so you have to be very careful to tuck it under and just hold the head of a little child like that, that is so fragile. And the wonder of it, the wonder to hold a little child that's so young, and the incredible wonder that God became that little and vulnerable. That He was a little baby, though He was the God of the whole universe, who could be held in 2 hands, and you had to hold His head up because it wasn't strong enough on its own yet. The vulnerability of God coming to be with us as a little child. But also, Mary. Sometimes we forget, you know, in the midst of everything, of the angel coming and speaking to Mary, and she having the grace to say yes to the Lord, that she was 12, 13 years old. That the incredible vulnerability of Mary as a young girl, who carried within her young womb the child Jesus. That sometimes, you know, we set up our nativity scenes during Christmas season, and those figures of the Holy Family, they just remain a lot of times just figurines, or they become like these characters in a big fairy tale in our imaginations. Instead of these real people, a little baby that you can hold, that's so teeny, a young girl who, 12, 13 years old, the vulnerability of Mary and God, but also looking upon the nativity scene, the strength of Saint Joseph. You know, the first nativity scene was set up by St. Francis. He was a saint in the 1200s, and he wanted to emphasize a point. He had made a pilgrimage down to the Holy Land, and he visited Bethlehem, and the cave, the actual cave where the child was born in the stable with the animals there, and he wanted it to emphasize this point that what happens and what we prepare now to celebrate in a few days is not just something in our minds, or this like fairy tale thing. Oh, isn't that cute? No. He wanted to emphasize the reality of it. And so one Christmas in this little town of Greccio, he had set up this nativity scene and brought in the live animals and everything so that people could see with their own eyes this reality of God becoming a small child, Mary as a young girl. And it began this tradition which I bet if we go to our different homes, just about everyone has or will soon have a little nativity scene. A little nativity scene that's meant to help our hearts to be filled with wonder at the reality of these real people, Jesus, Mary. And I want to spend just a little moment, a few moments, on the figure of Saint Joseph, who we hear about in the Gospel today. Because for a number of centuries, people imagined within the church, because there's no teaching on it, but they imagined St. Joseph to be kind of an elderly man. They thought of St. Joseph as being kind of almost this grandpa figure, this third wheel in the Holy Family that was there. And he was figured to be, well, this kind of elderly man, but one of the big things was there was this book of kind of mystical theology called The Mystical City of God, in which it speaks of St. Joseph as being this young man in the prime of his life. And others, such as Archbishop Fulton Sheen, do you remember him? He, as well as in theology, Dr. Brent Petrie, speaking about the theological things which point to Joseph as being this younger man. As well as there's a great priest, Father Don Calloway, who wrote a book about St. Joseph recently. That St. Joseph, they put forth this image which seems and rings very true of him being a young man filled with great vitality, a great vitality of life. And Father Calloway holds up especially St. Joseph as being this one who we look to as Christians, as being a spiritual father, especially in this age, that we have Mary who was given to us as a spiritual mother, but in an age of so much fatherlessness, or a time in which our own fathers, we recognize some of them were very imperfect men, that to be able to look to St. Joseph and to learn from him, even as a priest in my own fatherhood, looking to the fatherhood of St. Joseph and the example of the virtues and the desire in his own heart to be a godly man, both for men. You know, we need examples of what a father's look like. We need role models of what to try and emulate as a father. And this is for younger children. When you're thinking of the calling that you have, all of you, to be a father in one way or the other, called to be a father, a priest, or a father with a family and a wife, that to have a model that you can look to and to be able to look to the virtues of St. Joseph. And even as a woman, what sort of man are you seeking when you're looking, especially as a young person, for a husband? What sort of virtues do you look for in that man? That St. Joseph, in the particular virtues he had as being a man of great sacrifice, being a young man filled with vitality, he was called, as we hear in this gospel, to make tremendous sacrifice of himself. And he was called to this family life to be a husband filled with incredible love, but a love that was chaste as well. And that St. Joseph, he provides this example of it, but also coming to him, men, turning to him and asking for his prayers, for that grace to be able to sacrifice joyfully and to be able to sacrifice with a chaste heart. God gives that grace if we seek it. And we see it beautifully in Joseph. Also the hiddenness of his humility, his hidden humility. We never hear him speak at all in Scripture. But he's not just kind of disappeared behind the scenes. He's a man of great action. The Lord speaks to him, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary into your home." What does he do? With great courage, he takes Mary into his home. The angel comes to him in a dream. The bloody King Herod is coming to kill this child. Take this newborn child, who, remembering the vulnerability of that child, and Mary, who has just given birth, take them into Egypt. He brings them into Egypt, to the safety there, back up to Nazareth, the far journey that was, where he protected them, he provided for them, all in a great hiddenness, but with a beautiful and profound humility. He led by action. And the immense, lastly, you could go on with many virtues, but his courage. The absolute courage of St. Joseph. And the thing that, you know, sometimes is lost amidst these gospel passages, these Christmas passages we hear, is the absolute danger, real danger that Mary was put in. That what Joseph did in taking Mary into his home to be his wife is he put himself between her and certain death. A young woman of that age who is not yet living with the man and is with child. That was certain death for that woman. Joseph, with courage that was given through God's grace, took her and he placed himself between her and certain death. He is the protector of the Holy Family. And it's why he was lifted up as being the protector indeed of all of us, of the church. My encouragement for you in these final days as we prepare for Christmas is when you look at those nativity scenes, ours is coming up tomorrow afternoon. When you look at them, don't just allow those figures to be little figurines, but ask God for the grace that you're able to see and experience them as real people. A small, vulnerable child, a little baby, a young girl, vulnerable, and a man of great strength, a strength that he received only from God. So in particular on this day, we turn to St. Joseph and we ask for his prayers that he who is protector of the Holy Family might be the protector of us, the church as well. And that with him and with Mary, we might continue in these last hours to prepare our hearts and our lives to receive Jesus anew when he arrives very soon.